Praise God. I like that. I found a new way of living. You know, the old way I didn't like too much. The old way of living, I was at the mercy of everything that came along. I was at the mercy of even little itty bitty germs. I was at the mercy of other people's actions and reactions. I was at the mercy of the economy. I was at the mercy of my neighbors. I was at the mercy of my employer. But now, I have the mercy of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And now, I no longer have to be at the mercy of the circumstances around me. For in Jesus Christ, I have power over all things. In Him, I have power over sickness. I have power over disease. I have power over poverty. I have power over attitudes. I have power over the economy. I can go forth and do things that others cannot do because I don't play by their rules. And I'm not subject to their rules. I traded their rules in for a greater rule. Amen.
Amen.
I hope you hear what I'm saying. I hope you hear what the Spirit is saying. Trade it in. Their rule for a higher rule. Now my rule comes from Jesus Christ. My measure comes from Jesus Christ. My supply comes from Jesus Christ. My health comes from Jesus Christ. My attitude, if I let it, comes from Jesus Christ. If you love the Lord, say amen.
Amen.
The attitude is the hard one. The attitude is the hard one. Because this old flesh likes to have its own way. This old flesh likes to be stroked and made to feel good. Amen. This old flesh likes people to like it. Americans spend billions of dollars every year making themselves so other people like them. They go out and they eat some of the god-awfulest food in the world they call health food. Tofu. What is that stuff? Tofu. 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 Sounds like something you find on your socks when you take them off, you know? Terrible stuff. I can't imagine. People go out and spend fortunes on stuff they call health food so they look slim and trim. What do you want to look slim and trim for? So that somebody will think you're pretty? Huh? Well, I'm a married man. The only one I got to worry about thinking I'm slim and pretty is my wife, which I don't think she thinks I'm slim, and I know she knows I ain't pretty. But I wasn't either one when I married her, so praise God. If you love the Lord, say amen.
Amen.
So if I go out here to get all slim and pretty today, then who am I doing it for? Who am I doing it for? I'm doing it for vanity. Not the girl vanity, Ricky. But the pride vanity. And yet, if I walk in the Lord and please Him, then my Bible says, I am a pleasant sight to His eyes. I am pleasing in His sight. Turn around somebody and look at them and say, and I know it's going to take faith. When you look around at this crowd, just turn around somebody and say, you're pleasing in the sight of the Lord. Now, I didn't say go kissy-kissy. Hallelujah. How long you been married? 18 years. And you're still together? Hadn't got shut over yet. Well, bless the Lord. Amen. Give him a cheer. Praise the Lord. I bet you not all those years were great. I bet you some of them had a few little high points and low points in them. I bet you they had a couple sharp edges here and there. Amen. I bet you there were times when you wondered to yourself, why in the world did I ever marry this guy? Not too many. Notice she didn't say there weren't any. Amen. Amen. And I bet you there were times when you wondered why you married her. Well, it's your fault. You're the one that deceived her. And she fell for it, so praise God. You know what they say. Amen. Man was made in the image of God. And woman was made in the image of man. And you guys are in a heap of trouble. And God is in a heap of trouble, because if we reflect God, He's in a heap of trouble. But praise be to God. Adam reflected God. And he was the image of God. And Jesus that came down from God, the Bible says, was the express image of God. Hallelujah. So God, Lord bless you, isn't a reflection of us. He's a reflection of Jesus. And our goal is to become like Jesus, Christ-like, Christian. Not Christian as the world sees it. Not Christian as the world says it. But Christian like Jesus is. It's a new life. It's a new way of life. And it's something you learn. It's something you learn. It's not something that happens automatically. It's something that you have to work at. You have to prepare yourself for it every day when you get up. Today, I'm not going to live for myself. Today, I'm going to live for the Lord. Today, I'm not going to seek to please myself. Today, I'm going to please the Lord. Now, how do you do that? I mean, it sounds good for a preacher to stand up front and tell you these things. But how do you do it? Well, a wife can look at her husband and say, I'm going to treat him today as if he were the Lord. And I'm going to serve him as if he were the Lord. And that is pleasing in God's sight. That is pleasing. Because the Word of God says, wives, obey your husbands as the Lord. And as Sarah obeyed Abraham, even calling him Lord. Now I can just see some of you wives, your husband coming home and bowing before him saying, Lord, how art thou this day? Your wives would say, are you sick, woman? What's the matter with you? Call a doctor. Amen. My wife threatened to get on her knees and wiggle one time because the dogs used to beat her to the door and they'd be all over me. It'd take her 30 minutes to be able to say hi to me. So she figured she'd get to say hi quicker if she crawled up on the floor. Never could get her to try it. If you love the Lord, say praise God.
Praise God.
But how can a wife do that? A wife can praise God, and a wife can serve God and serve the Lord by using her husband as a tool to practice with. And how can a husband serve the Lord? A husband can serve the Lord by reflecting the Lord to his family in the love that the Lord gives, in the obedience to God that the Lord gives, that Jesus gave. He can reflect that attitude of God toward his family of forgiveness and patience and long-suffering and more patience and more long-suffering Especially when they say, why? That's the one word I wish I could cut out of the English language. Why? It seems like children learn daddy, mommy, not necessarily in that order, and why. And then they get stuck on why. It's like a broken record. It becomes like a broken record. Johnny, go do something. Why? Mary, go do something. Why? Because I'm going to boot you in the head if you don't. That works. Amen. You know, I used to meet these people all the time that believe in sitting down with their children and explaining everything. Explaining everything. And how you had to be patient and do that. And you know, one day my first wife was that way, you know. She wanted to do everything that way. She wanted to sit down and reason. And I read in the Bible one day where God says, come, let us reason together. Get your act together or I'll kill you. Now, I'm paraphrasing, but that was generally what God said. Let's reason together. Though your sins are like scarlet, you do what I say, I'll forgive you. Other than that, you're going to hell. You're going to be a Pop-Tart in hell. Now, to me, that's reason. That's the kind of reason I can understand. It's called offering you a deal you can't refuse. Do what I say or you're toast. And you know what? I realized that by doing that with children, always having to explain everything to them, you're not preparing them to learn to follow God. Because the Lord doesn't always tell you why. Sometimes you have to wait. And then you see why. So I learned to serve the Lord with my children by not always telling them why. Sometimes I tell them why, but not always. Sometimes I just say, because I said so. And that's going to have to serve it. And you know what? When they learn to obey that, and they learn to hear it and accept it, then when they read it in the Word of God, you know what? They don't say, why? They accept it. Serving God, men, sometimes means taking the chance on offending others. Sometimes in order to serve the Lord, you must be willing to hurt feelings and have your own feelings hurt in return. And then the Lord can take them and put them back together. Amen. Amen. Sing me a song. Let these people sing or sit down or something. I pray and I say, Lord, as I pray tonight, Lord, just guide me in the service and let me do your service the way you'd want me to do it. And it was weird yesterday. To me, it was really weird. And things that I wanted to do, I didn't do. Things that I would normally do, I didn't do. Things that I would sometimes say, I didn't say. And it was really strange because we had a guest last night. We had a visitor last night. And it was strange because he told me after the service, he said, it's funny, he said, I kept waiting for you to do certain things, and you never did them. And I was looking for an excuse to leave, but you never gave me one. He said, I was waiting for you to run up and down through the tent, but you never did it. I was waiting for you to start shouting, but you never did it. And then I knew for sure you were going to give an altar call. I knew you were going to do that, but you never did it. What kind of preacher are you? Is that the way you normally preach? I said, I preach however the Lord leads, each time. I said, the Lord knew what it would take to run you out, so he wouldn't let me do them. But if the Lord wants me to run you out, I'll do them, and you can run out. Because our attitude has to be to serve God. I remember reading in the Bible where Elijah was walking along, and he came upon Elisha. And he sees Elisha there, and he takes his coat and throws it over him. Throws his cloak over Elisha. And Elisha knew what that meant. Elisha knew that Elijah was calling him to be his successor and his servant, to be trained as a prophet in the Lord. And he turns to Elijah and he says, I pray thee, let me go and bid my father and my mother farewell. And he turns to Elisha and says, what have I to do with you? And starts walking off. Starts walking off. How many times have you ever tried to witness to somebody, and when they reject the word, did you argue with them? Did you try to change their mind? Did you try to convince them? How many times have you done that? I've done it. Most of you have done it. Amen. And you know what? It's wrong. It's wrong. See, if you're serving God, then you'll know the little thing that I know. For it says in the Word of God that no one can hear God's Word except God puts it in his heart to hear him. And no one can be drawn by the gospel unless the Holy Spirit draw him. And you can stand there and preach to someone till you're blue in the face. And if God hasn't called them, they're not going to accept it. And who are you trying to impress? Are you trying to impress God? Are you trying to impress them? Who are you serving? If you're serving God, then what does it matter what they think? If you're preaching the truth and you're sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ and they receive it, then praise God. It's not your gospel, it's God's gospel. Amen?
Amen.
If I be witnessing Jesus Christ, if I be sharing the gospel, whose gospel is it? Is it the gospel of Richard Uechtler or is it the gospel of Jesus Christ? It's the gospel of Jesus Christ. It may be committed unto me, but it's his gospel. And therefore, if I preach his gospel, and it's rejected, then it's not me that's being rejected. It is him that's being rejected. And what is that to me? And that's where Elijah was coming from when he said to Elisha, what is it to me? What have I to do with you? And he started walking off. And Elisha knew, hey, he wasn't getting another chance. This guy wasn't going to stand around and beg him. This guy wasn't going to stand around and try to persuade him. He was leaving town. And what did Elisha do? He had a barbecue right there for the whole town. He took the ox, slayed them, took the plows and used them for firewood, cooked up the ox and said, hey guys, here's a barbecue, farewell. Tell my parents I love them, I'll see you later. I'm going with the prophet. I'm going off with that prophet Elijah. He may be a crazy man, but he's going to do great things and I'm going to do greater things than he is because I'm going to follow him. And he left everything behind and he followed Elijah. And Elijah did mighty things. I remember one story where Elijah was in his house. Elijah had a bad habit of making people angry. But Elijah had a handle on it because if he made people angry for telling the truth, he knew it was up to God to get him out of the trouble. And one day this king sent an army to him. And Elisha was standing out there in the house, and he looks outside. He went outside to get some firewood or something, and he looks out there, and he sees this army surrounding the house. And he's starting to get nervous. In fact, he's getting downright upset. And he goes running in, oh, Elijah, surely we're going to die now. We're in a heap of trouble. You done talked too much. King's done sent his army, and they're going to come down here and kill all of us. There was only two of them. But I guess two is all, right? Kill both of them. Amen. And I'm sure he figured he was going to die or he wouldn't have said all. If he didn't figure he was going to die, he said, they're going to come down here and kill you. But he figured because he was there, I guess he was going to die too. He said, he's going to kill all of us. And Elijah just smiled and said, Lord, open that boy's eyes and let him see your army. And all of a sudden his eyes were open and there was multitudes of heavenly hosts coming in fiery chariots and horses of fire. I mean, it must have been a sight. In fact, it was such a sight that the soldiers were blinded. They were blinded. And they were bumping into each other and they're wandering around kind of like this, don't you know? And, hey, where are we going there? Where are we going? You like that?
Where are we going?
And oh, Elijah, I love this part. Oh, Elijah said, it's okay. You be the blind man. It's all right. Now, let me tell you. You just walk straight down this road. All right. When you get to the end, Elijah's there. Kill him. He sent him back to the king's house. There you go. That's good. Send him back to the king's house. They went back and tried to kill the king. I love that. I love that. What a trick. What a trick. Amen. It works for me too. You know, sometimes Satan will try to send a spirit at you. Sometimes he'll try to send a sickness or a spirit or something at you to beat you down, to drag you down. And you know what my favorite trick is? Is to say, in the name of Jesus, go back where you came from. In the name of Jesus, go back where you came from. I remember one time, Ricky Baldwin and I were sitting at a restaurant. He's sitting there with his terrible headache. Oh, he just says, and the guy sitting across the table, he left for a minute. Ricky, I said, what's the matter, Ricky? He says, oh, I've got this bad headache. I said, well, you know where it came from. Well, I don't know. I said, come from the guy sitting across the table. I said, tell the spirit to go back. Where it came from. I said, watch. When he comes back, he sits down. You just tell the spirit, in the name of Jesus, go back where it came from. And watch what happens. So the guy's sitting down. He's drinking a cup of coffee. He bows his head for a minute. You can hear his, watch his lips move a little bit. He says, you demon, go back where you came from. And all of a sudden, the guy sitting across the table goes, Oh, I got a terrible headache. I got to leave. And he turned and looked at me, and he just, wow, he couldn't believe that. But it's the truth. It's the truth. You don't have to put up with that garbage. You don't have to put up with that stuff. I remember John, Sex Hour. He was so scared of this guy that over here at a music store over in Montpelier. So afraid of him because this guy takes lessons in mind control. And he has this teacher, and he is the weirdest looking thing. He's real skinny. He's got a long beard, and he's real weird hair, and he looks like some kind of funky guru something or another. And he teaches this mind control stuff, how to control people's minds with your thoughts, you know. So we're going down there, and John's all scared of this guy. And I said, John, why are you nervous about it? Oh, that guy's got a lot of power. I said, he ain't got nothing. I said, I'll show you. I'll show you what he's got. I said, we drive up there. I'm going to pray right now. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. That a spirit of confusion come upon that man. The minute I walk in that door. And he will not be able to use those demon spirits against me or against you. Amen. And he kind of looked at me kind of funny, you know. So we walked in the door. And guess what? Both of those guys were there. The teacher and the other guy. It was great. The teacher takes one look at me. Boom. Split city. He's gone. And the other guy is just standing there saying, standing like this. And his employee, Rich, comes up and says, what's the matter? He says, I don't know. All of a sudden, I got confused. I don't know what I was going to say. I got to leave and get my thoughts back. And he walked out of the store. John and I went through, and John looked at me like I had just come from outer space. Thought I was the weirdest dude in the world. We walked through, got the stuff we needed. Next thing you know, here comes the guy back in the door. He walks in. He just goes, turns right around, walks back out the door again. The owner of the store. Run him out of his own store. Praise God. We walked out, and he went back in, and you could see him talking to Rich, and Rich is talking to him, and it's like, you could just imagine the conversation. I don't know what happened. All of a sudden, my mind went blank, and, you know. But what happens is these people learn to depend on demon spirits to do their thinking for them. And when those demon spirits don't think for them anymore, they're lost. I mean, they're lost. It's like a woman without a can opener, man. Housewife without a can opener. Dad, you're going hungry. Forget it. If that woman ain't got a can opener, you ain't getting no food. Because 9 chances out of 10, these modern wives have forgotten how to cook. They would no more know how to make food from scratch than I would know how to grow a tree from scratch. Amen. I'm about ready to rebuke something back there. Love the Lord, say amen. But you see, these things are out there, and in the world, you're subject to these things. You're subject to these spirits and these powers. Paul says in the Word of God that we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers and spiritual wickedness in heavenly places. In spiritual places. Attitudes that come against you. Attitudes, they come 9 times out of 10. They come from principalities and powers in spiritual places. Now, you women, think about this. You are extremely, and I'm not, you know, people still go around and I know they say, Brother David, that guy hates women. No, I actually liked him. I married one. I prefer them to men. I generally like the way they look better, and I like the way they're built better. Especially when I look at Ricky Baldwin over there. Can you just see him in a wedding gown? Oh, God, what a scary thought. Praise the Lord. Anyway, you women are extremely susceptible to demon attack. And it's not because you're subhuman, and it's not because you're not as good as we are. It's because you're different. Now, I know that's not a very good thing to say in 1993. This is 93, isn't it? All right. It's not a good thing to say in 1993 that men are different than women. But you guys and girls, it's the truth. These women are different. And if you don't believe me, just watch how a woman can hold a baby. You ever notice how a woman can just hold a baby, and hold a baby, and hold a baby? And you guys, you'll get it. You'll be big, strong guy, muscle man, you know. Go out there. Get that little itty-bitty baby in your arm. In 5 minutes, your arm is about to come off. It's dragging. And you're saying to yourself, my God, how do these women do it? And then when that baby gets about 35, 40 pounds, and it wants to lay in your arms, you know. And those women, they can just take that baby and hold it, you know, and they just... But you take that guy, and you get that baby in his hand, in 60 seconds, he's ready to put that baby down. It is already too heavy. Now, guys, am I right? And you know what it is? It's because a woman's arm is built different than a man's. It literally is. The angle of the shoulder and the angle of the elbow is different. It carries weight differently than a man does. Because God knew that that man wasn't going to stick around long enough to carry that baby very long. And he was going to have to help that woman out. So God made the woman to be a little different. And made the man to be a little different. Amen? And if you ever watch a woman throw a rock, you'll see the difference in their arms. Women just don't throw balls and rocks like men do. It just doesn't happen. It's just something like... It's just different. And women don't run like men. You watch men run, I can't even do it. How do those women do it? Get out here and trot for me, Amanda. Get out here and jog around a little bit. Now there, see that? Look at that. Now you don't see a guy run like that. She's trying to do it a little bit neater than normal, though. I'll tell you that right now. But you watch women. Most of the time, they run. Their feet go out like this, you know. They're running, their feet just going every which way. Because they're different. God made us different. You can stop, thank you. Oh, give her a chair. did a better job than I could do. I just out of breath watching her. Praise God. Now, you know what you've done? You've made me sweat, and I've never sweat when I preach. Bless the Lord. Anyway, what it is, when Eve was deceived, Satan came at her spiritually through the serpent and deceived her. But Adam knew full well what he was doing wrong. And he did it anyway. Adam was the transgressor, not Eve. Adam was. But because of Eve's susceptibility to deception, Satan has taken a hold of that and used it against women all the way down the line. And he'll do it when you're at your weakest moment. He'll come in and he'll throw an attitude on you, and you won't even know what it is. Your husband will come in and say, "What's the matter?" "Nothing." And what you really mean is, "I don't know."